Welcome to the You Got This podcast, featuring authors Donnie and Sandy. We invite you to settle in, open your hearts and minds, and be inspired to trust and present hope in the Lord. When you allow Him to lead the way, you got this.
Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome episode of You Got This with your hosts Sandy and Donnie from Your New Life Ministries. This is Season 5, Episode 7, Self-Grow and Self-Control. We have three topics we want to talk about today. Path to self-worth and what is that word? Flesh?
It's the flesh. You're living in the flesh.
Living in the flesh. Number two, path to emptiness and sanctification. And three, path to fruitfulness. And we also want to wish you all a happy 4th of July. And hopefully you'll have plans with your family and friends and just having a wonderful cookout or whatever you guys do for your holiday. And just always remember who made this. Well, there's two groups of people that made this day possible. One is our armed forces who provided us with safety and provided us with this holiday. And two, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because without His strength, we would never have won the war in the first place. So think about that. Think about who died and gave us our freedom in both directions, one being our armed forces and two being Jesus Christ. So always remember that when you celebrate this day. All right, finally, topic number one, path to self-worth and flesh. We're going to talk to you about the book of Galatians and the book of Ruth.
So what he meant by that is before you really start growing spiritually, you're just living in the flesh. And what I mean by that, your flesh and your emotions kind of dominate. When you're first saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit and your heart is renewed. But you got to remember, you have years of the world in you. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? Well, that happens on our path of growth. Sanctification is all about our spiritual growth, and it's a path of emptying yourself to fill up with God. The fruit of the Spirit is deposited in your heart. It's like a seed. For example, a garden. You plant seeds and you water them. And so we're going to talk along the way, how do we water that garden to get the fruit of the Spirit to grow, to become our third topic, path of fruitfulness. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And self-control is something that's hard for all of us because there's things we want what we want. But we can't let those wants control us, become our God, so to speak, where we're not happy unless we have them. Because then there's a problem. That's what Satan can use to get you. That's where Satan can use to take you down a path that you don't want to go. So I love the book of Ruth. Ruth 1, 19 through 22 says, so the two women went on their way until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Lord Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Okay, so there's the problem right there, is when we go through problems and we make our own bad choices and we don't consult on God, and even when we do and we decide to do our own thing anyway because we're impatient, we can't blame God. There was a famine in the land. Yes, sometimes there is, and sometimes God stands far off because, hey, we're not seeking Him out. And so He'll stand far off, but He's still always there just so we seek Him out to get a word and we go to Him. It's a shame He has to do that sometimes. We should be seeking Him every day. If you don't spend time with your spouse every day, that relationship's going to suffer. Well, what about our Lord and Savior? If you're spiritually weak, there might be a problem with that. How much time are you spending with God, the Savior of your soul, who gives you strength? But He can only give you strength if you're seeking Him to do that. If you're reading the Word and you're talking to Him. And so she blamed God. It was not his fault. He didn't tell her to go out to Moab. Bethlehem means place of bread. Moab means who's your daddy. That means they forgot who their father was and they went. It's like turning your back on your salvation and going back to that sinful life that you used to live in. Why would they do that? And so it wasn't God's fault. They reaped what they sowed. She lost her husband and her sons. She goes back because she hears there's bread now in Bethlehem. Bread never left. They did. But she still, even in her bitterness, she still showed her faith enough for Ruth, who was a Moabitess. They didn't worship God. They didn't worship the same God at all. And she saw something in her. She saw that faith. She saw that faith. And she wanted it. And she tells her, entreat me not to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. She wanted what Naomi had. So are you showing your faith? Are you growing spiritually where people want to say, I don't know what you have, but I want it. I want some of that. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you've ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. See, he is the bread of life. John 6:35 says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So, what are you doing? Are you seeking out God to grow spiritually? Because if you're not, your flesh is still going to have control over you. And from that comes addictions. From that comes all despair and negative emotions when we don't get what we want. When you deny yourself, it's like pulling weeds out of a garden. If you don't pull those weeds, they're going to overtake the garden. And your vegetables or your fruit or your flowers are not going to grow. They're going to be overtaken by the weeds. Do you have a lot of weeds in your heart that God needs to do some pruning? Allow him to do that. And before making big decisions, go to him in prayer. And then even if you don't like it, even if you don't want to wait, trust in the one who died for you. And use this as a growth opportunity, and you'll see you'll be victorious in the end. You can trust him.
This goes back to one thing and one thing only. Remember that old fable we used to hear a lot when we were kids and we were trying to get into the jar of ketchup? The best thing comes to those who wait. Simple as that. God is going to tell us things that we need to hear, but we need to be open to hear them. In other words, be patient and wait until you see the answer. And the answer will come to you. It's just a matter of time as to when it will come to you. And it may not happen overnight, may not happen a week or two, may happen in months. We don't know. God, but we always know that God's timing is always perfect and his gifts are more miraculous than we could possibly see and imagine. That's about it, really. And that was what happened with Naomi and Naomi. And when she, for some reason, they went to Moab. I don't remember the entire story of why they went to Moab in the first place.
Lack of bread.
Lack of bread, my wife says. And all they had to do was sit there and wait for a little while, and things will change. They got impatient. They got freaked out. They let fear control them, and they left. Then after that, God said, okay, I didn't tell you guys to leave, but have at it. And so they had more and more problems in Moab with their children dying off, and like, well, we have no choice. We got to move back. And I heard that the famine is over. Well, the famine never happened. I mean, they had lack of food, yes, but nothing they couldn't overcome. But they didn't stay to find out. The only thing that good came out of it is she met the wonderful daughter-in-law, and which turned out to be her daughter in the end, because she adopted her as a daughter in a matter of speaking. And they had the most miraculous relationship. And she ended up having a kid with, what's his name?
Boaz.
And their life turned out fantastic.
Because that she became a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. She became part of the lineage. So you're going to reap the consequences of what you sow. God gave us free will. And so If you go against his will, and if he's telling you no, but you do it anyway, he's going to allow you to reap those consequences. And some things he's going to allow, some things he'll protect you from, but it's all because of the purpose and plan that he has for you. And who knows, if they'd have kept living and then her family would have been alive, they may not have ever came back to Bethlehem. And then because of that, Ruth became part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. You see, you can do it. You have strength. John 6, 63 and 64 says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." So they came back. They came back to Bethlehem. And so our first topic is the path of self-works. This is what happened with them. They gave into their flesh. They didn't ask God. They just left. You can't leave everything that doesn't go your way, because you don't know, it might be a growth opportunity that God is allowing you to go through, which is going to turn out to be a blessing. And you'll never get those growth blessings if you keep leaving everything because you don't like it. It gets a little bit uncomfortable. So they sought after their own self-will and they didn't trust God. And see, James 4:2 says, "You desire, but you do not have. So you kill, you covet, and you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." They were impatient. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." So putting yourself first and trying your own is leaving God out, and you will always fail.
Yep. And that's it. Without God, we always fail. But with God, nothing is impossible. And that's a concept that, unfortunately, we as flesh human beings seem to ignore or forget or just don't even think about in the end. I'm not exactly sure which, because honestly, I'm a human being, just like everybody else in my life. And my patience runs thin on certain items, believe it or not. Only because, one, this is 2024, and our technology sucks now as much as it sucked then. And we just can't get things to operate the way we need to, especially with electronics. I had no patience for electronics. I'd assume break the thing and deal with it. Just like at work the other day, my scanner didn't scan something like it was supposed to, and it wasn't for God keeping me under control, I probably would have broke the thing. Because my patience runs thin. But anyway, it's a choice of one of self-control, which we all have to learn. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well." Now, in this passage, it's not saying that God is genie in a bottle, you rub it and your wishes come true. No, he's a father. He's teaching us right from wrong, and he knows which ways he needs to teach us. We just got to listen, which is we as kids, we don't. I don't know if any kid alive today that doesn't listen to his parents and always suffers consequences, and then he wonders about, well, why am I getting in trouble? Well, you didn't listen. Simple as that. We do the same thing, but we're grown adults. We sometimes get away with it until God steps in and teaches us the way he wanted us to do it in the first place. And that's what we got to remember with self-control and just getting us out of the way and let him work.
Yes. And so it's hard. But it is our choice. It is our choice whether we want to use self-control and please God or we want to please the flesh. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." Letting your flesh rule you is doing things apart from Jesus. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, "This day I call heaven and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life." See, it's a multiple choice question. He already gives you the answer. Choose life. Choosing life is choosing God. It's obeying him because he knows the end from the beginning. So he already knows your path. So trust him because he knows what lies ahead for you. Getting back to this verse, "So that you and your children may live and you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as you trust him, as you choose it, it's a choice. And sometimes we don't like to wait, but it's waiting. It's in the waiting and trusting God that we grow, we learn some things. It's like, oh, this is the light bulb moment goes off. And this is what you're teaching me in this trial, Lord. Because it's always going to teach you something or draw something out of you if he's allowing you to go through it. He is a loving God. And so he will not let you go through a trial that's more than you can bear. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. It's in the waiting that God gives you the strength of what you need. It's in the waiting that you grow closer to God and your faith grows as well.
Exactly. And honestly, that's the hardest part of it all because, as I said before, we are impatient by nature. So we just got to get out of that. Isaiah 40:28-31 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting. God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. His strength to the weary increases, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and grow weary. They will not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. See, I'm reminded of, I use this reference a lot because it's an incredible story. One of, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the Duck Commander. I'm sure they have, and I don't know if they all know the story, but he was a worthless drunk. He didn't start out that way. He started out very poor in a forest of Alabama and of Louisiana. He was a kid that grew up on land hunting and fishing and things like that because his father worked in the oil fields, was very, very rarely around. So he didn't really have a father figure around. He ended up teaching himself things that nobody could even think of. But as he grew older and he went to college and after he graduated, he started hanging out with this one guy named Al, and they just become worthless drunks. And Miss K suffered from years of abuse, mental and physical abuse, all because of his drinking. She ended up raising three kids on her own while he was out gallivanting, doing God only knows what. Until one day his sister brought in a preacher who actually saved him in a bar. Of all places a preacher will go to, he went to a bar to try to talk some sense into him. And finally, one day he woke up and seen the devil in the flesh. And that's what scared him straight. And he straightened out his entire family. And all he had to do from child time he was a kid to an adult was just follow God. He refused until that time. And now, look where he's at. He's got his family back, the love of his life back. And the only thing he had to do was give up that decrepit lifestyle. And now he's a multi-billionaire who still lives in a trailer in Louisiana. Most people I know, if they become a millionaire, they buy a 3-bedroom mansion or a 10-bedroom mansion, whatever they want. He still lives in a mobile home. I don't know who else in the world would do that. He's a down-to-earth human being with billions of dollars in a bank account. Even the realtor tried to get him to buy a mansion. He's like, what do I need a mansion for? But that the example I'm trying to make is money don't make you rich. Money is the root of all evil. Always remember that. He just lives where he wants to. He don't even go to the grocery store. He hunts off the land.
And the point of that is some people's impatience will get them in trouble. You want to give into your flesh and you want. So you build up those credit card bills and before long, you're in it over your head.
Exactly. That's the point of, and that leads me to my topic number two, path of emptiness. Just because you have money don't mean you have everything you need. You only need two things in life. One, your family, and two, God. You don't need money. Money will come to you when its time is right. You just need your family and God. That's it.
So the path of emptiness. This is the part people don't like to grow. People don't like to grow because it hurts. We have to die to self a little bit along the way. And path of emptiness is dying to self. And it's the path of spiritual growth, which is sanctification. So you're going to go through trials. Trials that you bring on yourself and maybe some that God ordained. And they're all meant to grow you spiritually, open your eyes to sin that you're committing, or maybe something you're doing that's not sin, but it's just not good for you. Or maybe it's to draw a passion out of you that's going to be useful for the purpose and plans God has for you down the way. But Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Romans 8:28 says, and we know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So in leaving and going back to Bethlehem, Ruth started gleaning and picking up after those who were harvesting the wheat, right, in Boaz's field. They were cleaning it, and they had some that would drop on the ground, and she would come in after them and pick up what was left over for food. And Boaz told people to leave her alone. And he even told her only do it in his field, because he knew who she was. And he knew she left her whole family behind in Moab to come and be a support and a comfort for her mother-in-law. When both Naomi's husband and Ruth's husband had both died in Moab. You know, you're going to die in your own self-will. You're going to, if you keep on following that flesh, you're going to die in that flesh. You're going to just die in that rebellion. And that's dying spiritually more and more. If you want to come more and more alive, more and more filled with his peace and his contentment, that you just trust God, you're going through all kinds of storms. But you know what? You just have complete peace. That's a testimony in itself. People will know what's going on with you. And they'll ask, why do you have so much peace? There's a testimony. You don't have to go beat somebody over the head with a Bible. You just have to live it every day, and they're going to ask you. And you just got to share your story. So because of that, and they knew who she was, her and Boaz grew close together. And he fell in love with her. He was their kinsman redeemer, which is a symbol of Jesus Christ. Because he is our redeemer. See, James 1:2-5 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. See, the path of emptiness is dying to ourselves, choosing to obey God, even when we don't always understand it. Because you read that in Proverbs 3:5-6. He tells us to lean not on our own understanding. He's saying in that verse, we don't have to always understand everything. We just have to trust him and trust him. Trust him by the cross. Trust him by what he already did for us.
You notice how we're saying trust him. Trust him and only him. See, a lot of people say give Christians a bad name. And honestly, the word Christian was meant to be an insult. Because people labeled Christ Jesus as Christian. Well, there's a difference. We follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't follow religion. God never created religion. Mankind created the concept of faith and all that, and organized religion is what I'm trying to say. God never said anything about having an organized religion.
Jesus said, I didn't come to bring religion. Religion is a bunch of rules and regulations. And denominations, you don't read about one denomination in that Bible They were first called Christians in Acts in the book in Antioch. Okay. Christ in us. But Jesus said, I didn't come to bring religion. See, he came to bring relationship. Because it says in John 1:12, to those who believe, to those who receive him and believed in his name, they're given the right to become children of God. Children of God. Children denotes family. He came to bring relationship. And when you love somebody, you don't want to hurt them. So that's why, you know, he says all the law and the prophets are summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Amen. Because love covers everything, a multitude of sins. And when you love God, or when you love yourself in a healthy way, and you love your fellow man, you don't want to hurt them.
Yeah, he never said how, where, when. He just said do it. And it's up to God and Jesus to tell you how. And he will tell you how. Because not everybody's the same. That was the point I'm trying to make, which goes along with this point. In allowing us to choose the path we want to follow, we choose the path of self-will and walk through the desert of self. We will come to the point in which we become empty of ourself, of having to have things done our way in our time. It wearies us from consequences that come from choosing the path that we finally follow through. Our hands will cry up, Lord, I give up. I need your help. Show me how to do it your way. This is what God wanted all along. See, we're supposed to ask him which way to go. We don't need to pray a certain way or worship a certain way. We have to worship the way he wants us to worship. There's no formality. Just like the other priest back in the day says, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. That's crap. He never said how. He just said do. A, initial salvation, the pot of our heart, the soil, humble heart. The Lord Jesus fills the humble heart, Luke 8:15. But the seed of good soil stands for those with noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving the produce, a crop. And the seed of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. B, self-will and sanctification, which we were talking about. Weeds that are already in our hearts from years of the world before our salvation. This is a process of sanctification which God, through trials, draws out the weeds and wrong perspectives and cleans your heart. That pretty much sums that up. And finally, see empty self-fruitfulness. The second step towards this step of the weary of trials and desert period causes humility to take place, in which we decide our way is just not working. We have to find out from God's way.
And so part of that self-growth, that growth is in emptying yourself, is daily relationship with the Lord. Like I said, you got to spend time. Any relationship you want to cultivate, you got to spend time with them. You don't ignore them. And if your boss wanted you to come in 30 minutes early, oh my goodness, you would sure do that. Well, why is it when it comes a time to spending time with the God, with God, and going to him to let him know, hey, I appreciate you, because that's what it does. He wants us to do that. He doesn't want us just to come to him when we want to come to him with prayers and our list of 911s. Do you want that? If your children go off from home, or if you have friends and the only time they call on you is when they need something, or, hey, can I have 20 bucks? No. Well, what about God? He wants to give you these things, but he also wants a relationship with you. So he wants you to come to him. Are you ignoring him? Are you giving in to your flesh? Oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to do this. But you have time to watch a football game with your friends. You have time to watch those stupid news channels that only tell you lies. You have time for that. If your boss wants you to come in 30 minutes early, you have time for that. But get up extra, get up in the morning to spend time with God. It's somehow our flesh takes over. And this is a sore subject with me. Because God Almighty, who died, gave up his only son to die an excruciatingly painful death. The Jews believed in 39 whips, but guess what? The Romans are the ones who beat them, and they don't have such a rule. So who knows really how much and how long he was beaten? And it was with a whip that the ends was called like a flagellum. And they had bits of stone and metal and glass and bone in them. And they beat him over and over. And if you read in Isaiah 52, 14 and 15, it says that he was beaten beyond human recognition. That means his face and everything was so swollen up and so bloody from being. And he did that for us. Do we give him the time? But no, we give into our flesh. Oh, I'm so tired. I deserve the time. Well, when God just wants you to come and talk to him and just say, hey, thank you. You have enough time in the morning to spend time with him. You have some time, and or maybe in the evening that you have time. Do you know the Israelites had a morning sacrifice and an evening? It means they woke up with God and they went to bed with God on their mind. That is emptying yourself, denying your flesh. Is your flesh still your God? Because if you're still giving into flesh more than you're giving into time with God, then your flesh is still your God. And growing spiritually is spending time with him. It's reading the word, because the word is your spiritual food. It's talking to him. It's praising him and giving him thanks. Because he says all through the Psalms how he wants us to give him thanks. Are you doing that? Are you appreciating? Are you taking time to spend with him? And then also taking time to just sit still in his presence and listen, because he wants to talk. Communication is two-way, and he does talk to you, but are you listening? Are you giving him that time? So we're going to go into a break and play a song called Overcomer. Because in Christ, we can overcome every trial, and we can grow spiritually. Then we're going to come back and finish our last topic. The path of fruitfulness is where the Holy Spirit is truly growing within your heart.
People drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Cause God is holding.
welcome back. We're going to finish our topic here and finally finish up on topic number three, path of fruitfulness filled with the Holy Spirit. Ruth 1:6 says, when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to aid his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. Naomi had lost everything, and hearing that there was food in Bethlehem, she prepared to return home. She was finally emptied herself and was ready to return back home to the house of bread, back to the Lord. It is when we finally come to see ourselves, humble ourselves to submit to the Lord and to do things His way, that we're already ready to allow the Holy Spirit to grow and flourish within them. I know the story a little bit, but I don't remember how she heard that there were food and
that gets me.
And things like that back in Bethlehem. For one thing, there was no phone. I don't know if she received a message from people that traveled to that house to give her that message, or is it something that God gave her in a dream or something like that? The story isn't very clear, but maybe it's not supposed to be clear to us. Maybe that is the one thing that God just wants us to know, that she got the word. That's all that matters.
And I believe that it's like, a couple of day journey to walk from Moab to Bethlehem. And so how did she hear? You know, to me, it's God wanted her to hear. God was telling her, it's time to come home. And that's what's going to happen in your life. God will not let you stay down. God will not let you stay down when you have fallen, when you've gone off in your own way. He is going to continually find ways to get your attention. And I believe that this was God. God caused her to hear there was bread in Bethlehem. Because, as Donnie said, how did they hear? Is we have to come to a point where we've had enough of ourselves. It ain't working. You know, as the old saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You can't keep planting orange seeds and expecting an apple tree to grow. It's just not going to happen. So if you want something different, you need to do something you've never done.
So Matthew 6:28-34 says, and why do we worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow it is thrown in the fire, he not much more clothed you, or you of little faith. So you do not worry, saying, we shall eat, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You never have to worry, because things always seem to work out to the best of us in the end. Now, I'm reminded of what Joyce Myers always says. Why worry about something you cannot control? It will happen the way God intended it to happen, as long as you let Him work. And she always said one thing else. Worrying about things never turns out the way you imagine them. They always work out better. Or however she put it. I don't remember exactly the wording she used. But it's pointless to worry, because your worst thoughts never come to pass.
That's right. And I read in a devotion one time, when you're worried about these future events of something that might happen or might not happen, fear is not from God when you're worrying and afraid. And in that devotion, God was saying, when you're worried about those things and being afraid of something in the future, says you're leaving God, you're leaving me totally out of the equation. And we are. Because if we put God in the equation, he says, do not fear. He says, I will take care of you. I will cause you to walk in victory. So that means we don't have nothing to fear in that. And so when we stop exalting ourselves and having to have things our own way and giving into our flesh and giving into the comforts of our flesh rather than doing what we know God wants us to do, we're going to see we're going to start growing spiritually. And God wants us to have the things that we need. He knows the things that we need. And Donnie just read that in Matthew chapter 6. So it's okay to have those things. God just doesn't want those things to have us, to control us, that we're not going to be happy unless we have them, because it's robbing us of our joy and our peace that comes from the Holy Spirit and that comes from trusting him. So God wants to bless us and he will supply our needs. We'll walk in his favor when we're just walking in the obedience to him. And you can't get away from his blessings. They will chase you down. Satan wants to steal those things from you, and he wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to draw you away from God.
Yes, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to seek, kill, and destroy. I came that may have life and have it abundantly. See, Satan wants to take your joy away from you. He wants you to be miserable and keep on blaming people for your own problems. And I know several people like that. They always do their own thing and expecting good things to come to them, but yet they always blame God and everybody else around them for their own unfortunate circumstances that they caused, mind you, that they caused. And the only thing we're telling them, like, look, don't do this. Why are you telling me, why are you doing this? Oh, well, you just want me to be happy. Like, oh, I don't want you to be down in the dirt. But if that's where you want to be at, so be it. And that's where drug addicts do. They always blame everybody else for their circumstance that they chose. Same thing, because they're following by Satan, not by God. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Have you ever noticed around you that the people that are doing good are following by God's examples? Have you ever noticed that, but people that aren't following God examples and they want to do their own thing by doing up on drugs, anything like that, they're always miserable until they get their next hit, and then they're not even living in reality. Same scenario. You don't see one person following Christ doing drugs and alcohol. You don't, because they know better. But yet, you always see people just living on the street, thinking they got a great life, but they don't. They're miserable. They're completely miserable. But they're blaming everybody else for their problems. Not taking their own, not taking ownership of it.
You know, David, they say he was a man after God's own heart, but he gave into his flesh and he committed adultery. And he even caused the woman's husband to be put on the front lines and be killed. And he was made aware of his sin. He owned up to it. Because he had to pay a high price. But he owned up to it and he didn't blame God. And he repented. And God still, you know, blessed him as king over Israel. He continued to live according to God's will. And he learned through his trials that being in God's presence is the most important thing. Is it the most important thing to you? We learn to have peace and confidence in God that only comes from truly knowing him and trusting him. And that comes from spending time with him every day, emptying ourselves, filling up with the Holy Spirit, and letting that fruit grow. That comes with time with him. Daily walk with him, walking in obedience to his commands, trusting him even when we don't understand it. Are you trusting him?
And that is the $10,000 question. Are you trusting him? Are you putting your complete faith in him? If not, then you need to have a serious prayer and come to a realization that you need to follow him. But God will deal with that in his own time. He knows what he needs to do, when he needs to do it. It's not up to us. God will draw you closer to him when the time is right. Titus 1, through 1 through 2 says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness and the hope of eternal life, which God does not lie and promises before the beginning of time. See, Paul was first named Saul. He was the worst kind of human being, Papa, but God did a work in him. And now you see what happened to him. He completely changed his life around and just became an amazing follower of Jesus Christ. And he brought, I don't know how many people to God, but God knew that. That's why he picked him. He knew exactly what it's going to take to convert him over. He knew exactly the circumstance in which to do it and how to do it. And he did it. He knows more about us than we could possibly imagine. He knows more about us than our own parents do, because he helped create us. So just always remember that God knows what he's doing. We just got to sit back and do what my favorite verse always said. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're never going to see God until the time is right. So we just got to go by blind faith, and that's what he wants. He wants us to have blind faith and just go with what he tells us when we don't need to see him.
See, and you know, it's saying in Titus that we can say no to ungodliness and we can walk in truth, in obedience to God. And in that, we grow spiritually and we become more and more like him, transformed day by day, going from glory to glory, as it says in 2 Corinthians. When we come to the point of emptying ourselves, using self-control, we then have room for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. See, trusting God, and you know that he loves you, and you know that he won't fail or forsake you. You know that he's going to work everything out for your victory. You spend time with him. You give him the thanks and the praise and the gratitude that he wants. Are you doing that, or is the only time you come to him is when you're praying and asking for things? God doesn't want that. He wants you to come with that, but not only that. He wants you to come and just spend time in his presence so he can talk to you. And if you're not hearing from God, it's because he's talking, but you're not listening and you're not giving him the time of day. Who talked to you? When you empty yourself and get rid of those comfort zones, oh, well, I'm too tired and I deserve to have this time. Well, where would we all be if he thought that way on the way to Calvary? It's like, no, I changed my mind. None of us would end up in heaven because we all fall short of the glory of God, it says in Romans 3:23. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you've been brought to fullness, and he is the head over every power and authority. I love this. Fully surrendering to God is you're surrendering all, and you trust him with every part of your life. And I love that verse because you see that God who created the world, and he spoke and it came into being. That same fullness is in Christ. In Christ's Holy Spirit, that same fullness is in us. And so this same power that he used to speak and it came to being, we can speak and prophesy over ourselves. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has a power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What are you prophesying over your future? Are you speaking that, oh, I'll never have this. I'll never do that. This will never happen, and my daughter will never do this, and my son will never do that. Stop prophesying those curses over yourself and over your family. That's what cursing is. You're cursing yourself by, I will never, and they will never. Stop doing that. And saying all the things that anger you and you're afraid of. Guess what? Satan can't read your mind, but he can sure hear your mouth. Stop giving him ammunition because he doesn't need any more. He comes up with enough on his own. And start prophesying good things. Giving the angel seed to work with, to run. So God can help it grow. One man plants, but one man waters. But it's God who makes it grow. What seeds are you planting? What are you speaking over your life? And are you spending time with God to help grow in the Spirit so you can know how to utilize those words and those promises? Are you denying yourself? Are you denying that comfort? Are you denying those, I want to do this and I deserve to have this moments, so you can be obedient to God and grow in the Spirit?
That's right. So moving on, Romans 8, 35 through 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of God? I think that answer is pretty obvious. You, us, flesh human beings, because we always give in to our flesh. We as human beings are flawed. God made us that way so we can make choices. He don't want robots. He wants people who actually can make decisions. And he just wants us to make the right decisions. And do we make the right decisions sometimes? Absolutely not. Because we forget one thing we should be doing at all times. I'm guilty of it just like anybody else. Praying. Do I pray nearly enough? Nope. Does my wife pray nearly enough? Probably not. See, we need to be praying all the time, and I need to start doing that more than anybody. Why don't I do it? Laziness. Which is about 90% of the people today. We just get too lazy, too comfortable, and just too comfortable doing our own thing. That simple. So we shall separate us from the Lord Jesus. Who shall separate us from the Lord Jesus Christ? I just answered that. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. It is as it is written, for your sake, we face death all the time. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. Not all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. He's going to love us no matter what. We just need to learn to appreciate that love. And do we? Maybe in some cases, but not all the time. When we return, it is harvest time. How ironic, not only was Naomi coming back home with someone who was a true friend and daughter to her, and coming home to provision, but she was coming back home to God. And through Ruth, who was not even a Jew, or a Savior Jesus Christ would be born, call that a harvest. See, Naomi already made Ruth already made a choice in the desert when I was walking, when she sent one of her daughter-in-laws back home to her family. Ruth made a choice there to stay with Naomi. She knew that God needed her there. Without even knowing, she knew. She knew that Naomi would be her true mother. She knew that she would become the lineage of Jesus Christ. She made a choice right then and there, and it was a right choice. We all need to learn to make right choices. And how do we do that? By prayer and fasting and doing whatever God wants us to do in order to do that, do what we need to do.
You see, Ruth was more than just a friend and a daughter-in-law to Naomi. Ruth, in Hebrew, her name means friendship. But see, she never left. And this is an example of God's love. Even when we stray from him, God never leaves us. His love, he never stops loving us. And that's what Donnie read in Romans 8. Ruth is the example of complete selflessness. She left everything she knew to come back to Bethlehem, to a place she didn't know, people she didn't know. But she gave up all that to stay and be a friend and a comfort to Naomi when Naomi needed her most. And because of that, she was provided for. God provided for Naomi through Ruth. And so, yeah, she said, I went away full, but the Lord brought me back empty. Because that's what the Lord wants to do in our trials. He wants to empty us of us to fill us up with him. So, have you strayed? Have you walked away from God? God is always waiting with loving arms. He wants to say, just come back home. I have a harvest waiting for you. Surrender all, and I will be your Jehovah Jireh, your provider, who provides all your spiritual needs, all your physical needs, all your emotional needs as well. Just come home. Just come back. If you need to rededicate your life, or if you've never received him, if you want to start on that path to growth that leads to fruitfulness and a life beyond what you could ever dream of, and given your heart, just pray and receive him. And you can receive him right now. You see, I went through 20 years of abuse. And through it, I gave my heart to the Lord. And I never dreamed of what would happen in my life. He turned my life around from being abused, feeling worthless, and almost taking my own life. He turned it around, and now I'm about to start writing my 40th book. 40 books that God has given me, every one of them. Every title, he gives me what to write, and about every one of them, I'm just barely, it's like I'm taking dictation. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit fill me with the words to write. That is, I give all glory and honor and praise to him. Not only that, I am now helping to preach at the church that I attend here in Colorado since we moved here. I am also a speaker. God has turned our life around. Donnie, who has 24/7 migraine headaches on a daily basis. It's a pain level 1 to 10. It's pain level 6 and 7. And he learns to operate. Now that, I am a complete baby. I get migraines. I don't know how he does it. So he is at daily light and sound sensitive. It's through Jesus Christ that he does that. And his ex-wife loved him, left him in the middle of it because she didn't believe him. But doctors diagnosed it. So that he's written 2 books, and now we have found each other from people who treated us like trash and abused us to bringing us to each other, which he treats me like a princess. God will do the same for you. And now we have this ministry together, a podcast that's listened to all over the world. What will he do for you if you start denying your flesh and try to live for him? What will he do for you? So Donnie's going to give you some updates, but I want to give you the invitation to pray and come back to him or receive him for the first time. Dear Almighty Father in heaven, just pray this with me. I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you for forgiveness of all my sins, and I want to make you the Lord of my life. And I'm sorry if for the ones who have left him, just pray this. I'm sorry that I gave in to my flesh. And I want to come back to you. Forgive me. I want to make you the Lord of my life. And I want to serve you all the days of my life. I do believe that Jesus Christ is your son and he died on the cross for my sins. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you for being faithful to me and always waiting for me to come to the knowledge of the truth. For never giving up on me. Thank you for my salvation. Help me. Lead me. Guide me. Help me to grow in your word. Learn your word. So I can be a light to those around me. Jesus, come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. And I thank you and praise you for all of this. In Jesus' holy, special, precious name. And if you did this, I want you to please go to our website, yournewlifeministries.org. Go to the contact us page at the end, fill in your name and say, hey, I prayed that invitation to salvation prayer with you. We have a free book that we want to send out to you. So send your name and your email address so we can let you know when we sent it. And of course, your address, because we have to have a place to mail it to. We want to give you a book free of charge that's going to help you in your walk in Christ.
And in closing, we got a couple announcements. We got 2 more books that are being published under our banner. We left our previous publisher because of other issues that we needed to overcome. So we got two books that published now under our banner. One is Jeremy's Journey, and the other is God's Love. So check those out today on our website. What?
There's more. Yes, we got An Eagle's Flight that's about to be published. A new book that was just released is called In the Garden with Jesus. It is a work of fiction. It's got a story about one sister who betrayed another sister, and the one she's having trouble forgiving her. So she goes every day to meet in the garden with Jesus. Wouldn't you love to meet with him every day in person? On a personal basis, and just have him help you and heal you and talk to you. This is what happens. So it's work of fiction, but it's a devotional at the same time. Pages at the end of every chapter, so you can write your own notes. Check it out. It's called In the Garden with Jesus. And we have another one coming out. You Got This, Learning to Let Go. Oh, don't we all need to learn how to do that? This is basically what we were talking about. Learning to let go. It's surrendering to the Lord.
That actually isn't published. It's already published, but we're just republishing it under our banner.
Yeah.
So with all these books and many more, go to our website at yournewlifeministries.org or anywhere books are sold, such as Amazon. So check them out today. And in closing, always remember, you know you got this when you let God lead the way. Talk at you later, guys. Bye-bye.